Well, as I said a moment ago, as we begin our Bible study period, it's a privilege to be with you all this week. I'm looking forward to being with you. Some of you I have met before and we lived over in this area. Doesn't mean I'll remember you or remember your name for sure. Even when Sammy Barker's brother introduced himself to me this morning, I remember his face and I knew Sammy's brother, but I couldn't remember Sammy's name to tell him who he was, so bear with me. And I've got a whole lot more names and faces to keep up with this week than you do, so just go easy on me. If I forget the first time you tell me, don't be afraid to tell me again. And hopefully we'll know each other better in more ways than one by the time we come to the end of this week. Some were asking how long it's been since we've been here in this area, and I was trying to think back over my records, and as far as I can remember, I've only spoken here once before in the past that I know of during a VBS around 11 years ago. And to help put that in perspective, around that time, my son looked like that. Well, now my son looks more like this. And he's had a few added along with him to the family. These are my three children. Sorry that I couldn't bring them and my wife at least over with us for the day, but they did have some other things going on, make it a little more difficult for them to be able to come. I wish they could come over and meet you all, and maybe some other time we can stop by and you can meet the better half and better parts in general with me. And even though some things have changed, some things haven't. Get too far ahead of myself yet. Believe it or not, I'm still driving the same vehicle I drove when we used to live over in this area. It does have a few more dents and dings in it than it did back then, but I've heard you have somebody here who can help me with that, so I may have to get with him later. Aerostars rule, Kent. But something else that hasn't changed since we were here last, and that's the message. This week I don't claim to have anything new or fancy for you. Maybe presented in a slightly different way than has been before, is really preaching is just the gospel set to personality. But it's simply the same old message that I have to present, but I hope it'll be a renewal and, as mentioned in prayer, maybe a rollback for us as we go back and think of some of the things we know, maybe a stirring and revival as oftentimes meetings are called. I hope it can be a time of revival, not just for you, but for me and my time with you this week. But as we do begin this morning, I want us to go back to one of the verses in our reading a moment ago. They're in Galatians chapter 4, and mainly focusing on verse 4, when it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. And when the fullness of time came, it was time for Jesus to be born into this world." I want you to try this morning to go back in time. Let's go back around 2,000 years ago, and this time has come. And use your imagination with me for a moment. The time has come. You're standing there with Jesus by your side on the edge of a cloud, looking down at the earth, and you tell Him, "The time's come." And He says, "You know, I don't think I want to go." How would you respond to Jesus? Maybe you'd ask Him, "Well, why not?" And say, "Well, actually, there are a few reasons, but I don't want to go." And then Jesus would proceed by giving reasons not to go. I want us to consider this morning what I think would be some reasons Jesus could give us if we were standing there with Him on that day, looking down at the earth, knowing what stood in store for Him, reasons for Him not to go. Jesus could say, "Well, you know, I don't have to go." And He'd be right. After all, He is God Himself. But we'd probably quickly say, "You know, Lord, You don't have to go, but we sure would like for You to. We sure need for You to go, Lord. Go for us." Because we understand passages like Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know the passage a few chapters over in chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. We know that we stand in spiritual death, in need of the life that only Jesus can give us by coming to this earth. He may not have to go, but we sure need Him to go. And I think I'd be begging Him, if you don't go for you, go for me. Go for the world. We need you. And there are passages like John chapter 10 I want us to consider. In John 10 verse 17, Jesus Himself here says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Now here Jesus, in specific, is talking about His death. But I think the same reasoning would apply before He even came to this earth. I don't have to go. It's my choice whether or not I go. I can do what I want as far as that regards that issue. What I want us to consider, though, is Jesus didn't have to go and lay down His life, but He did it anyway. He chose to do it, even though He didn't have to. If you looked up the passage in John 10, if you back up to verse 15, at the end of that verse He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." So even though Jesus didn't have to go, He went for me and for you as the sheep. There's not a whole lot we can say to that reason Jesus may give us, but maybe we try. And so He gives us another reason. He says, "Well, you know, I really don't care that much for people." Now this reason I just don't understand. I mean, after all, people have always been so good to God. They've always obeyed Him. They've always respected Him. I mean, couldn't God just love people to death for the way they've always acted? Now, we know the answer to that. Really, the answer is, could you blame Him for saying this? Could you blame Jesus for looking down at the people on the earth and saying, "I don't love those people. Why would I want to go and die for them?" We haven't really given Him a lot of reason to want to go. In Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the days of Noah, that man was so wicked that every thought of his heart was on evil continually. Sometimes I'm wondering if, as a society, if we're not all that far from that day. We look around, a lot of the evil, the sinful things around us. There's a lot of evil in this world today. And think, why would God want to come and go through what He had to do for a sinful bunch like us? We don't really give Him a lot of reasons. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." If you keep going to verse 8, it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, the truth is, we didn't deserve it. We're not all that great of a bunch. And we're probably pretty hard for God to love. Yet He came anyway for us. Well, maybe we try to deal with this reason Jesus gives us. He has another one for us. Maybe says, "You know, I've already done enough for those people. I mean, look at all the things I've blessed them with already. I give them a sunrise, beautiful sunrise some days. They go out, they have the changing of the seasons. They have cupboards and refrigerators and freezers full of food. I bless them with all the finer things in life. I mean, just look at all I've done for them already. I think I've done enough." And if Jesus was to say that to you, could you deny that He'd already done a lot? Even if you take the spiritual blessings aside, just look at physically what God has done for us. He'd have a case there. He has done a lot for us. But I think we want Him to do more. Could you tell him, Lord, all that's really nice, but we really deserve the spiritual blessings too? No, we really couldn't tell him that. Because we don't deserve what we already have, not alone considering the spiritual blessings. But yet we know that in spite of what he's already done, Jesus still came and gave us the greatest blessing we could ever have. Hopefully we're all thankful for the material blessings we enjoy, all the finer things we have, all the blessings of nature and creation. Some of Sammy's brothers, somebody heading over to the mountains, and what a great time of year to go over there to see the wonders of God's creation. And while we enjoy all those things, all the wonders of creation, the beauties of His nature, the physical blessings, how do those compare to the spiritual blessings that Jesus brought into our lives when He came to this earth? There really is no comparison. And even though Jesus had already done so much for us, He gave us the greatest blessing He could by coming to this earth and suffering as He did. Well, so you keep talking to Jesus. You're standing there. You're looking down on the earth. And then He says, you know, they're really... I hit the wrong button, didn't I? There we go. Need the computer literate person to help me out. Then Jesus said, you know, there are other things I'd rather do. And I have to ask you, if you were Jesus contemplating coming to this earth and going through what you knew He'd be going through, do you think you could come up with a few things that you'd rather do? I don't think you'd have to think very hard. Can you possibly think of anything that'd be more enjoyable than living the kind of life that He did? Suffering the ways that He did when He came to this earth? Jesus knew there are other things that He'd rather do. But yet He came. And even after He came, there are things He'd rather do than go through all that still lay ahead of Him as a human upon this earth. In fact, we come toward the end of His life in Matthew chapter 26. And there Jesus said, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. What's Jesus really telling the Father? Father, you know, I'd really rather not do this. But even though Jesus would rather not do it, we know what else He told the Father. He said, yet not as I will, but as you will. And aren't you so glad, even though Jesus could have thought of other things that He'd rather do, that He submitted to the Father's will, and He went. He came to this earth for us. Well, you're still talking to Jesus. He still hadn't gone. You're still standing there. And wouldn't you know it, He gives you another reason. He says it's a lot of trouble to go. And again, He's right. Jesus would have been right if He said that. I mean, think of all the trouble that it was going to be for Him. He was giving up a home in glory, a home in heaven, angels at His bidding, no pain, no hunger, never get tired, no bills to pay, all the things that we deal with, all the troubles that we have in our lives here upon this earth. He didn't have any of that. And it was going to be a lot of trouble. A lot of things He was going to have to adjust. A lot of things He was going to have to do to be a human upon this earth. But you know what? In spite of all that, we read Philippians chapter 2. Where Paul said, although He existed in the form of God, that Jesus emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Could you blame Jesus if He didn't want to go to all this trouble? But yet He emptied Himself. He went to the trouble. He became a human and lived among us. Jesus isn't through. He also said, you know, I won't enjoy it. And I have to say, probably a lot of ways He was right. It's obvious that He was right. Because it wasn't very enjoyable for Him. Would it have been enjoyable for you to go through what Jesus did when He came to this earth, when He suffered and died as He did? In fact, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 said He endured the cross, despising the shame. And that's what it was. It was an endurance. Jesus didn't joyfully go to the cross. It was something He endured. We think some of the things we endure sometimes are difficult. Think about enduring that. And think about the shame. Probably the worst part of the experience. Jesus didn't just despise the pain, although there's plenty of pain involved. What He really despised was the shame. Can you imagine being the Son of God and coming to this earth and being treated like He did, especially everything that He endured surrounding His death? People spitting upon Him, mocking His name, really belittling even God Himself, saying, you know, if you are the Son of God, then let Him come down and save you. Think how insulting, how despised He must have felt enduring all that shame. There was nothing enjoyable about all that for the Lord. But yet we see He endured such hostility by sinners against Himself. And in spite of all these reasons He could have given, Jesus came. I just realized when I got up, I left my songbook sitting over at my seat. But if you think back a moment ago to a couple of songs we sang a while ago, one of them was entitled, He Loves Me. And the first verse asked the question, why did Jesus go? Why did He leave His home in heaven and come to earth below and suffer as He did? And the title tells us, because He loves me. As the other song we sang indicated, because He loves me so. Jesus could have given us a whole list of very valid reasons not to go, but He went anyway. Because He loves me. And He loves you. Well, I want you to come back now. Leave your spot there on the cloud beside Jesus, because He's already gone. And come back forward 2,000 years. It's Sunday afternoon. Went out for lunch after morning worship. And someone else from the congregation, some other members, happened to be at the restaurant. And as they're leaving, they walk by your table and see you and speak and say, well, we'll see you tonight. You say, well, I'm not sure if we're going to go tonight. Or maybe it's Wednesday afternoon. You're in the grocery store. And another member passes by and says, well, got to go. Got to hurry and go get ready for tonight. See you there. You say, well, we just haven't decided for sure if we're going to make it tonight. Let's say both those occasions they stop and ask you, well, why not? Would you have some reasons ready to give them? Let's say they ask you why not. Could you say, I don't have to go? Well, maybe there's one sense that you'd be right. I mean, we could talk about passages like Hebrews 10 and verse 25 that talk about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We'll just forego those passages and just assume you're right that you don't have to go. But what if they asked you in return, don't you want to go? Does it have to be a matter of what you have to do? Do you want to go? And if not, why not? You know, Jesus didn't have to go, but yet He did. And we think of why Jesus came. He came to this earth for the benefit, not for Himself, but others. And maybe when we're thinking, well, I don't have to go. Well, maybe you don't have to go. But have you ever stopped to think that maybe it matters, maybe it really shouldn't matter? If you love God, do you have to go? Think about God in the issue. Don't you love God? Isn't that way to show your love for God and offer your worship and praise to Him? And what about other people? What about the benefit to others? Think about how Jesus sacrificed so much in His life for what others could gain. Maybe you come and you don't really want to be here, but maybe there's somebody else you come and you encourage by your presence. When we come together, one of the reasons we come together is to teach and edify one another through the songs that we sing. Maybe somebody next to you needs some teaching and edification, and they won't receive that if you're not there. Maybe just your presence will be the lift to somebody else. And even if you don't have to go, maybe somebody else needs you to go. Will you go for somebody else? Well, what about another one? There are other things that I'd rather do. Well, can you think of other things? Let me check something real quick. I may have gotten things out of order. I guess not. But you say there are other things that I would rather do. And the question is, we notice next to your actions ever say this? My guess is, even if you run into somebody else or somebody else was to ask you, this probably wouldn't be a reason you would give. You know, I'd just rather do something else. But is this not what sometimes your actions demonstrate? I mean, if you're not here when other saints are assembling here, and it's not because you're sick, you're not physically not able to be here, wouldn't it be because you've found something else that you'd rather do, or you would be here? Jesus could have given this reason not to come to earth. And He'd been very justified in doing so. But do we ever tell this to others with our actions? That there are other things we'd rather do than go and assemble to worship God? And again, we ask, if there are not other things you'd rather do, then why don't you go? Why don't you go worship God if there aren't other things that keep you from doing it? Maybe you say, I've already done enough. I went to church Sunday morning, don't see any need in overdoing it, you know. Or maybe we could say it a different way. 1 or 2 hours out of 168 hours a week, that ought to be plenty for God, shouldn't it? That's enough to worship Him. That's enough to show that we really love Him and care for Him. We want to honor Him. I mean, after all, we don't want to overdo things. Well, consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 24, when He said, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Does that really sound like Jesus is concerned about you overdoing it? Taking up a cross is a great burden to bear. Denying self, that's a lot. Jesus doesn't really say that He's concerned about us overdoing it. If anything, it sounds like our main concern ought to be underdoing it, not doing enough. That's what Jesus requests of us. That's what He wants of us in our lives. Or how about this one? It's a lot of trouble to go. You know, if you gave this reason, guess what? I'm on your side. You may be right. Sometimes it may be a lot of trouble to go, depending on your situation especially. I didn't bring mine with me this week, but for those out there who have kids, it is trouble to go sometimes, isn't it? All the extra effort trying to round up everybody. It's time to walk out the door and somebody's got a shoe that's lost or a sock or something that's missing. And of course you can't find the others. They're all in the wash or somewhere else. You make sure you got all the everything lined up, all the sippy cups and everything else so people be happy and they make it through. It is a lot of trouble. Or maybe you've gone home Sunday afternoon. You get into a project at home. And maybe you're up to your elbows in grease. And the project's not going as you want it to, and you realize, hey, it's time for worship tonight. If I'm going to go, I'm going to have to stop this, drop everything. I'd love to finish now so I don't have to deal with it next week. Now I'm going to have to go in, get cleaned up, go to worship, come back, and resume the project. I had one of those myself recently. And it was trouble. But is it worth the trouble to worship God? Is it worth the trouble we think of as parents and the trouble our kids sometimes add to our getting ready and coming to worship? But isn't it worth the trouble for the example we can set before them in showing the proper priority? But it's worth the effort because God is number one in our life. And we want to demonstrate that by going to the trouble, putting forth the effort. Because after all, that's what He did for us. There's a whole lot more trouble for God to come to this earth than it ever is for us to come together and worship Him. So when you're sitting around and maybe thinking that it's a lot of trouble, and maybe it is for you to come back, is as much trouble as it was for God to come? To take that step and come to this earth. Or maybe you think, I meant to put that up there, basically just said it. Maybe you think I won't enjoy it very much. And that may be true. Sometimes you may come to worship and you may not enjoy it. But if you don't enjoy coming to worship God, whose fault is that? Why would you not enjoy worshiping God? Sometimes it's like I've heard the example of going to the bank. People, to get something out of it, have to put something into it. You can't just go to the teller window and say, I'd like some money, please. They want to know, well, what's your account number? What have you put in? Then we'll give you something back. And with worship, it's the same way. Maybe we don't enjoy worship because we're not putting enough into worship. Maybe others haven't treated us like we think they ought to when we go. Maybe we don't think they're friendly to us. Well, how friendly have we been to them? If we haven't gotten anything back out of it, how much have we put into it? Have we strove to teach and edify one another? Have we went together, we've done our best to praise God and edify Him? Can we not be uplifted and edified if we really put our hearts into worship? How can it not happen? So if we don't enjoy it, maybe it's our own fault. I'm confident if we'll come to worship, no matter who worships with us, the rest of the congregation may be as dead as the doornails, they say. They may be just as sour as a lemon. But if we go with the intent to do our best and uplift and edify others and to worship and praise God, I'm content we can leave satisfied by what we've done. As the psalmist said in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Does that sound like the attitude of somebody who would say, well, I went Sunday morning. Do I have to go back Sunday night? You know, I've got other things to do on Wednesday night. There may be a meeting going on, but you know, those projects around the house, I really just soon stay home and mow the yard and go out and be with brethren. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I mentioned the meeting. I better make one exception to that. I hope all of you are back here if you can be. But I know some of you may have had certain schedules already set, and some dummy went and changed the date of the meeting. Well, I'm the dummy responsible for that. The elders went along with it. And I know you have a life to live. And if you had other plans and I messed them up, I'm sorry for that. But if you're here and you're able to come back, I hope you'll come. And if you're trying to decide whether or not to come, remember the situation Jesus was in about 2,000 years ago and all the reasons He could have given not to go to earth. And think, can you really come up with a good reason not to go and worship God? Oh, went back one too many. Let me just do that. This lesson isn't just to get you back for the rest of the meeting, but it's hopefully to put some thoughts in your head, to think in general about your dedication, devotion to God. We mentioned worship is one of the things we didn't really talk about this morning when we talked about our life. It was mentioned and I wrote it on the board. But it is a very important part of our lives, coming together to worship God. How much is too much to come together to worship God? How much time is it worth giving up out of our recreation and our playtime and our entertainment. You know, more and more is pressed upon us in the world today. More and more things crowd and compete for our time of worshiping God. We need to stop and remember all that God gave up for us and how much He ought to mean to us in our lives and what we ought to be willing to give up for Him. Maybe this morning as you think about your life and how you prioritize, you can realize maybe you haven't put God in the place that He ought to be. Not just coming back on Sunday night or Wednesday night or attending the meeting, but maybe each and every day of your life you realize you haven't been as dedicated to God as you should be. Maybe you've yet to take that first step in really giving your life to the Lord. If not, we encourage you this morning to repent of your sins. Quit living for yourself and for the world. Be willing to confess the name of Christ. Be buried with Him in water for the remission of your sins to begin a new life for Him. And maybe you are a child of God and you've done that this morning already. But as you look at your life and the level of commitment, it's nowhere near the level of commitment that Jesus made to go and to die for you. And it's time to renew your commitment to Him. If we can help you in any way this morning in making your life right with the Lord, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.